This is North Shore Today for Thursday, May 23, 2024. Our headlines today, a shooting on Nahant Beach. Beverly School Committee approves more funds for teachers. Ipswich votes to support dam removal. Weather today, temperatures near 80, a threat of thunderstorms this afternoon and early this evening, high tide just after noon. The news is powered by Moynihan Lumber in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire. Moynihan Lumber, supporting local news coverage and supporting the North Shore. Hi, everyone. I'm Bill Newell. Rick Moore is off today. Still ahead, sports and North Shore Today Extra. There was a shooting in Nahant and Lynn Beach last night. Boston 25 News reports that one person was shot and was brought to a Boston hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. The incident happened at about 8 p.m. last night. In Malden yesterday, there was an officer-involved shooting as 31-year-old Demeek Matthew Long was shot by police following a confrontation that he had with a woman and then police. This is Mental Health Awareness Month. The Healy Driscoll Administration highlighted the early successes of community behavioral health centers with a public event yesterday. Governor Healy said young people are hurting both in Massachusetts and across the country. We hear it from young people, their families, and their teachers. We hear it from providers who work with youth, as we see in our statewide and nationwide data. This week, we talked with Essex County District Attorney Paul Tucker on youth mental health. It's a concern for him and for his office.
I'll tell you what I worry about a lot is something that we're seeing with these emerging adults and mental health. We have partnered with different agencies. We're up in Merrimack Valley with the Merrimack Valley Family Services. Our juvenile diversion program, every young person who comes through it, there's a mental health evaluation and counseling piece, no matter what offense that they were looking at in terms of becoming justice involved or not. So I think mental health is an incredibly important piece. I worry that we still haven't seen the tip of the tidal wave post-COVID. I think that our schools, particularly our public schools, have done a phenomenal job. Our public school teachers, oftentimes by default, working on the front lines, have become so much more than simply just classroom educators. They're really looking at educating the whole person. We are partnering with educators across the community. This, I think, is something that if we don't get a hold on it, these are something that's going to keep continuing to cause us issues for many years to come. We've got to stop this tide. One example, Bill, up in Lawrence this past September, we had a 14-year-old young person shot and killed a 19-year-old woman. And what we looked into to find out, good family, hard working family, but this young man was coming home at the end of the day, didn't have anybody else there, became gang involved, and gangs are very good at finding these kids and grooming these kids. We need to make sure we're identifying all of those kids before something happens. And I think we really need a proactive approach. And my office is all in on doing it.
Essex County District Attorney Paul Tucker. The Beverly School Committee voted last night to add an extra $1.5 million to the budget for teacher pay. Paul Layton reports in today's Salem News that the vote comes 2 weeks after about 300 teachers showed up at a school committee meeting to demand pay raises and oppose several staffing cuts planned by the district. The city of Lynn will receive $500,000 from a Brownfield assessment grant. Sophia Harris reports in today's Daily Item that Mayor Jared Nicholson said, "It is a significant milestone in our current efforts to revitalize areas in our community that have been unsafe and contaminated for far too long. The grant will address properties that were once polluted, vacant, or abandoned." Ipswich voters this week voted in favor of removing the Ipswich Mills Dam. Michael McHugh of the Salem News says that the vote passed with 58% support. This is Neil Shea from the Ipswich River Watershed Association discussing that project.
You know, there's plenty of resources available online, but essentially it's kind of the consensus is it's one of the most important projects we can do in this region because of the fact that it blocks the head of tide dam. It's this relatively rare ecosystem in Massachusetts called the freshwater tide where, you know, you have this freshwater influence, but being a coastal river, there's twice daily tides that rise and fall. and the dam blocks that. It prevents it from going any further upstream. And so you have this unique ecosystem that's no longer present because of the dam. And most importantly, the dam serves no function. It doesn't provide any flood protection. It provides no financial service to the town. If anything, the town has a continued obligation to maintain it, and that, you know, bears out financially as well. And so, you know, you kind of start adding up the list of pros and cons, you know, not to mention, you know, the ecosystem benefits that it would have, but the financial things as well that's important for the town to consider, you know, weighing whether or not to keep this thing going forward. So they're all kind of part of the equation that went into that, the work over the past 10 to 15 years.
Sports is next, followed by North Shore Today Extra.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Yes, we are a full-service lumber yard, but we also offer doors and windows and kitchen cabinets. Please visit us in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Taparo Capital Management. It's time to craft your retirement plan. Click on the Taparo banner at the top right of our website and begin creating your winning game plan.
If you're a soap bar user and you're always annoyed by the fact that when you use your entire bar, you're stuck with this little sliver of soap that you don't know what to do with, hold on, because I think I have the solution for you. It's always a pain to have that little sliver of soap that we didn't really know how to use but didn't want to waste and throw away. So we invented this cute cube-shaped soap bar that then you can place your old little soap sliver right into. There's a carved out X in the center of the bar that then you can place your old soap sliver into. You just break up that little sliver into pieces that are two or three and it fits right inside. And bam, now you've got a brand new soap bar and you didn't have to waste anything. If that's something you're interested in and you want to support a sustainable small business, then head on over to our shop at exobath.com. You can buy one for yourself or give it as a gift. It ships anywhere in the United States and you can get 20% off your first order.
Click on to the Exobath banner at the top of our website. This is MSO Sports, bringing voice to the North Shore. The Celtics host the Pacers tonight at 8 in Game 2 of the NBA Eastern Conference Finals. Celts lead the series 1-0. The Red Sox win last night. Here's baseball insider Andy Carboni.
Well, at Tropicana Field, Red Sox made it 4 wins in a row. They beat the Rays 8-4, completing the first series sweep in St. Petersburg since 2019 for the local 9. Welly Abreu hit a 2-run home run, barring Bayo, allowed 3 runs over 6 innings, struck out 6 for his 5th win of the year. Sox are off today. They return to action tomorrow at Fenway for a brief 3-game homestand against the Milwaukee Brewers before heading on the road to face the Baltimore Orioles. With the win last night, Sox find themselves 2 games over 500 at 26-24, third place in the AL East, 7.5 games behind the dreaded first place Yankees.
Thanks, Andy. The Endicott baseball team continues to play this weekend in the NCAA D3 playoffs. They'll be hosting John Hopkins in a best-of-3-game series. Game 1 is Friday at noon. The Gulls are coming off a 3-win weekend last weekend in Connecticut as they beat Husson twice. Those wins sandwiched around a wild game against SUNY New Paltz of New York. This is Endicott coach Brian Haley on last weekend.
Yeah, no, it was a great weekend. Like you said, that first game, Husson's an excellent team. They were a 4 seed, but they were a battle-tested team and a team that's been in the NCAA tournament 4 consecutive years, so they kind of know what to expect and have had some success. So that was it was a pitching duel, really, I'd say, all the way until late in the ball game where we were able to put up a big number and kind of break it open a little bit. But that was a very close game with really good pitching, really good defense, and some timely hitting. And yeah, we got that one to kind of open up the tournament. And then we had a lot of rain come in, so the next day we were basically just waiting to play. So we had a game scheduled for 2:30 that didn't kick off until 7:30, and we ended up being fortunate in this, but the site got changed from Eastern Connecticut, which is a natural surface, to UConn, which is a beautiful turf facility. So we went over to UConn and played New Paltz over there in the rain. It was raining, I'd say, for the majority of that game, but because of the turf, we were able to play. And it wasn't the prettiest baseball. There was a lot of walks. There's some hit-by-pitches. There's a lot of offense, as you mentioned, with the score. But it was a 19-12 game, and it took over 4 hours. So as a coach who loves baseball and also someone who loves pitching, it was not a fun game to be a part of, I'll be honest with you, but we were really happy to get the win and move forward to the championship. And then we got back over to Eastern on a beautiful day on Sunday, and kind of got back to good baseball, where it was, again, it was a really good pitching and defense game. And again, the timely hitting came up huge, and we produced some runs and kept a lead. And Brady Stewart came out of the bullpen for us early and went 5 1/3 or 5 2/3, I believe, to seal it. And it was just a stellar performance by him. There was a lot of really high-level performances. Joe Framartino had an amazing tournament and really made a, I don't know if it was game-saving, but it was going to change the game if the ball got down, a catch at the wall where he went up to the top of the fence and pulled one back late in the game against Husson. T.J. Laponis played outstanding at short and swung the bat really, really well. Robbie Witkowski played great at third and swung the bat really well. There were some highlights from those guys. Jordan Gottesman in game one, you know, pitched really well as our ace.
Endicott baseball coach Brian Haley, we have a complete post-up with all the details that you need for this weekend series, plus the full interview with Coach Haley here on our website. In high school baseball yesterday, Salem edged Gloucester 2-1, Saugus over Danvers 9-3, Masco topped Whittier 2-1, St. John's Prep keeps rolling with a 5-3 win over Haverhill, their 11th win of the season, and Lynn Classical beat Revere 8-1. A girls lacrosse game of note yesterday, Ipswich topped Peabody. We have details in our sports post, also up on our website. This is North Shore Today, giving voice to the North Shore, the area's only daily news and sports podcast. Rick Moore is off today. I'm Bill Newell, hoping you have a great Thursday. North Shore Today Extra is next. Taparo Capital Management. It's time to craft your retirement plan. Click on the Taparo banner at the top right of our website and begin creating your winning game plan. This is North Shore Today Extra. We recently did an interview with Neil Shea, a restoration program director for the Ipswich River Watershed Association, on that project to remove the Ipswich Mills Dam. He explains why the dam should be removed, in their opinion, and we have a discussion. And so it's an extended audio clip with Neil Shea from the Ipswich River Watershed Association.
Sure. So the Ipswich River Watershed Association is a nonprofit. We're founded in 1977. We've essentially consider ourselves the voice of the Ipswich River. You know, it's a big job to do, but some of the things that we do are we help the municipalities and the towns within the watershed, you know, conserve water. We monitor the river to make sure that it stays clean. We promote sustainable water withdrawals from the river, and we do restoration projects to help support biodiversity and ecosystems. And we also do a lot of education work, too, where we get out into local schools and do a lot of programming and also have people right at our office in Ipswich where there's a canoe launch and we offer paddling and lots of other just kind of programming to interact with the river and learn more about it.
In that article in the Salem News, I learned that 24 communities border the river at some point, and 15 of those communities get their water from the river. So not an insignificant river, but whenever you look at it, it just seems kind of meandering along there.
Exactly, yeah. It's a little inconspicuous. You can kind of like get peaks of it through various, you know, roads that traverse the communities, you know, Ipswich, Topsfield, Hamilton, then the headwaters are actually all the way up in Burlington and Wilmington. It's, you know, it gets its start in kind of these inconspicuous, almost just wetland looking areas, and then before it turns into more of a river, but it's low gradient, it's slow, which makes it great for paddling. It's a good kind of like beginner river for folks to get out on and enjoy, and I think that's part of why people love it too, is kind of it has kind of a little bit of everything for folks.
I know when we were paddling there, my kids loved watching the turtles, that's for sure.
Yep, so many turtles, painted turtles, snappers, yeah, we got it all.
Yeah, and I enjoyed it too, I got to be honest with you. All right, let me tell us about the restoration project, the dam in Ipswich. So take us through that. I know this will take a little while, but to take us through the project and what it entails and what are the potential positive results from the project.
Sure. So, yeah, this is one of our most important and longest running projects. The project got its start all the way back in 2012, so well before my time working for the association. But its genesis was kind of based on the fact that a lot of people realized how important removing that dam was to restore the ecosystem up of the of the Ipswich River. We started working pretty early on with the town of Ipswich, who owns the dam. They bought the dam from there used to be a company in the mill building called Sylvania, and they owned the dam. Used to be privately owned, but the town bought the dam for a dollar. Probably looking back on it, not a great choice now, but they did buy it, and so they've been having to deal with it as dam owners since then. That was back in the 80s. And so as a dam owner in Massachusetts, you're required to, you know, keep the dam up to certain standards. There's safety hazards associated with it. There's also a fish ladder, which is regulated by the state. And so you're required to make sure you pass fish. But over the years, what we found is that the fish populations in Ipswich, especially migratory fish like river herring, which are, you know, this keystone species in our coastal rivers and on the North Shore, the populations were really taking a hit. And we traced that all the way back to kind of when this dam first became like a dam that fully spanned the river in the early 1900s. And I think we worked with a lot of our partners at the state level, at the federal level, at the local level to do a lot of research. I mean, there's been over 1,000 pages of data and documents and kind of careful research as to like why is this dam so impactful and what the results would be if it were to be removed. And so you can look, you know, there's plenty of resources available online, but essentially it's kind of the consensus is it's one of the most important projects we can do in this region because of the fact that it blocks the head of tide dam. It's this relatively rare ecosystem in Massachusetts called the freshwater tide where you have this freshwater influence, but being a coastal river, there's twice daily tides that rise and fall, and the dam blocks that. It prevents it from going any further upstream. And so you have this unique ecosystem that's no longer present because of the dam. And most importantly, the dam serves no function. It doesn't provide any flood protection. It provides no financial service to the town. If anything, the town has a continued obligation to maintain it, and that, you know, bears out financially as well. You kind of start adding up the list of pros and cons, not to mention, the ecosystem benefits that it would have, but the financial things as well that's important for the town to consider, weighing whether or not to keep this thing going forward. So they're all kind of part of the equation that went into the work over the past 10 to 15 years.
I want you to talk about the ecosystem and what that could look like if the dam were removed. But you mentioned there's no downside to removing the dam as far as water flow. So is there a downside at all to removing the dam or to the appearance in the community or anything like that?
Yeah, I think, we try to acknowledge, any possible impacts, whether it's, the ecosystem benefits, which we think is the most compelling case, that's kind of in our wheelhouse and that's the best argument that we can make. But, if a lot of people don't necessarily care about that. And so the other reasons why the dam is important to the town, it's kind of a local icon to the town. A lot of small towns in New England have these mill dams that have been around for as long as people can remember. And I think it's kind of an aesthetic benefit. We have a river walk that crosses out down the river that connects two areas of our downtown. People like to walk the river walk, look upstream at the dam. There's often wildlife there. And so the dam, creates this artificial impoundment that functions much like a pond. And so there's tons of wildlife in there. There's turtles, there's fish, there's birds. But one thing that we know is that that wildlife isn't going anywhere, even with dam removal. We see all these animals elsewhere upstream in the Ipswich River where in areas that have not been dammed. And so, those animals are there in spite of the dam, not because of it. And we have this rich, diverse ecosystem that's going to continue to be here. It's just going to look more like a river instead of a pond. So we're not denying that there would be change following dam removal. Water levels will get generally lower because you wouldn't have this pond-type ecosystem. It would just be more of a river. And so a little bit more dynamic in the sense you would have those tides that rise and fall twice a day. And also the river would be allowed to fluctuate with its natural flows, higher flows in the spring, lower flows in the summer. And it would just be a restoration to natural processes there.
Tell me more about what the restoration would look like to the river as far as the ecosystem, wildlife, fish, and whatever.
Yeah, yeah. So essentially taking the dam out, you know, the dam currently has a fish ladder, but fish ladders are not fully effective to pass all fish species or at all life stages. So, you know, it accounts for maybe some adult fish of certain species, but, you know, that's part of the problem is that we've had this slow waning of fish populations because the amount of fish that want to get up can't make it. So taking the dam out essentially provides complete and unfettered access for any fish species of any age. So little fish, big fish will all be able to make it up there. And not to mention the things that we can't really see every day too. So the bugs at the bottom of the food chain, you know, they don't, with the dam in place, they don't have that gradual transition that is meant to be there naturally between this kind of fresh and saltwater environment. And so we've seen a huge drop in our macroinvertebrate populations, the bug populations, which, you know, is the bottom of the food chain. And so opening up that dam and allowing that, that, you know, the river to run free and for there to be a natural transition there again is one of the most important things we can do, because that's, you know, how natural processes are meant to function. That dam essentially it's a hard stop that interrupts every natural river process there is. So from, you know, water quality exchange to sediment transport, none of those things are currently allowed to you know, function as the way they should be. So restoring all those functions, you know, we've seen it all over the state and all over the country. You know, it works. We know that it works. There hasn't been any case of dam removal that hasn't resulted in, you know, the intended restoration benefits.
Interesting. Yeah. The, you talk about, I mentioned obstacles and you referred to that a moment ago, but the one big event coming up is that town election, right? For the article, or is it a town meeting or election based?
Yeah. So it's that, exactly. It's town vote. We actually had it was on at town meeting last year. There was an article, you know, posed to the public. It was worded in a way where it was, does the public wish to move forward with this project essentially? And that won by a vote of 68%. And so, but now the select board, who is the kind of the ultimate decider on the dam, wanted to get more public input. So it's going to be on the town ballot this May 21st. Essentially, similar question, but even more straightforward. Do you want to remove the dam? Yes or no. And so that's essentially going to give the select board the information they need from the public, because this is such a it's a hot debate around town. I think a lot of people are very invested in it. And so I think for that reason, that's why the select board wanted to make sure to get full input from the public before they move forward.
Oh, but what you're saying is interesting, because it's not a binding vote necessarily, but it's a vote to inform the select board.
Exactly. It's more of a referendum almost, where they want to get just that full input from the public before they make their final decision.
That is Neil Shea, Restoration Program Director for the Ipswich River Watershed Association, on that Ipswich Mills Dam project, possible removal of the dam. Again, as we reported earlier on North Shore Today, Ipswich voters voted in favor a non-binding referendum on removing the bridge, with the support of about 58% of those that voted this week. This is North Shore Today Extra. I'm Bill Newell. Thanks for joining us. Again, have a great Thursday.